some situations where I want you to think, what would you need to feel safe in a particular situation, okay? So safety first. What a nervous guy that is. So, ready? Some pictures. I'd love you to shout out. What would make you feel safe in this situation? So let's see the first one. Do you want to? Okay, there you go. So, some of you may have been in that situation before. What would you need to feel safe? Okay, who wants to put, who's got an idea? Wait a minute. There's one here. Wait, listen. Let's not descend to chaos just yet. So, you ready? I've got an answer here. Parachute?
Yes.
Who wants to go out there without one?
No.
No, no. Parachute. All right. Next one. You see that? Big shark. Some swimmers. What would you need to feel safe with the sharks? Let's go, isn't it? I have an idea here. Okay, listen up. A shark cage. You want to put the sharks in the cage? No? So you're in the cage. Right. So they can't get you. All right. Fine. That would make you feel safe. Yeah? Great. Next one. What is it? Oh, you can't see it. Oh, no. There's a very adventurous lady climbing a very steep rock face. What would you need to feel safe in that scenario? Okay? Okay, you have a little chat. I'm going to ask you over here. Okay, shh, shh, shh. Yeah. A rope. What, just to hold on to?
Yeah.
So you can't climb one-handed with a rope?
Yeah.
What else? A harness? Maybe. What about doing that freefall? Would you do that? Yeah. Oh, some do. Okay, next picture. What on earth is that? Maybe some people might recognize that picture from somewhere. So, you recognize it? From, is that what you're going to say? Pilgrim's Progress? Pilgrim's Progress. So, this guy here is called Christian. And the other guy's called Evangelist. And he's pointing Christian through a very narrow gate. That would lead to salvation. What is it? It was a book written in the 17th century by a man called John Bunyan. And it was a way of describing what it's like to be a Christian. And the idea he had was it's a journey. And it's a journey that starts when we receive Jesus. Okay, that's how the Christian life starts. So not just when you discover things about Jesus or when you hang out in church. But the Christian life starts when we receive Jesus. Or in the illustration, you go through the narrow gate, you receive Jesus, and the Christian journey ends when we see Jesus. It's great, isn't it? So it starts when we receive him, and it ends when we see him. But now there is a journey until we see him face to face. Now what that journey is like can be dangerous. So here, there are some three words. Next one. As they find the screen, three particular words, if I can remember them, as you go through your Christian life, there is always the potential of being distracted by other things. And sometimes life is full of doubts. There are moments when you might question everything, and that's really disorientating. And sometimes, and this is a big posh word that you might learn, distortions. This is about Jude, isn't it? Sometimes you come across people who distort, who change what the Bible says and tempt you to go off in other ways. So the Christian journey, receive Jesus, I want to see Jesus, but along the way, it can be dangerous. So my question is, how do we feel safe or how can we be kept safe as we go through until we see Jesus face to face? Or to put it a different way is this, how do you know you will make it? How do you know you will make it to the end if the journey can be dangerous? Well, if you've got Jude open, let me tell you. Jude, verse 24, here's the answer to how we know we're going to make it to the end. Let me read it. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. That is incredible. We've learned lots from Jude, but here is the big truth as we end. God will do it. God will keep his Christians to the end safe in the journey. What does he actually promise? Two things. The first one is he says, I am going to keep you from stumbling. I'm going to keep you from falling over big time so that you walk away from Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep you from stumbling. Now, let me show you a picture. I think it's the next one. I like to run. Okay. Do you think that's me? Can you see that? This is mountain running. Okay, I like to run. Sometimes I enjoy it. Often I don't. But it is necessary. I'm going to be 45 this year. So if I want to eat cake and drink wine, I do need to run. Let me show you a more realistic picture of me running. Okay, that is me at the beginning. Before I start. Okay, now why do I say this? Keep it up for a minute. Something happened to me this summer for the very, very first time when I was running. I fell over. Oh, thank you. At least one sympathetic person in the whole building. It was so strange. I was on holiday. I was just running around where we were. We were staying in a place called Gerrard's Cross. So we've got a relative, so it's a bit posh, isn't it, around Gerrard's Cross. So I was running through, enjoying my run, and then suddenly I found myself flying through the air. And I don't think it happened. It was in slow motion. And I've gone, what is happening to me? I am falling through the air. I saw this car driving past me as I was falling to my side, okay? And I was going, oh, I wonder if they were going to stop and see how I am. Not in Gerrard's Cross. They, whoom, passed me. They weren't stopping to see me. I hit the ground, cart. I was like, oh, I couldn't hardly walk. But I'm stubborn. So I kept on going. Eventually, I kind of made it back. I stumbled. I got hurt. But at least I made it to the end, okay? I did some research yesterday. I thought, I wonder if falling during running can get worse than that. And I did some Google searching about those who had fallen during a run and had died. And I'll tell you something, there is a lot of stories. There's a difference between having a stumble and making it and having a catastrophic fall which ends your journey. What does God promise us in Jude? I'm going to keep you from falling, from stumbling. Well, from falling, catastrophic. Now, what is going to happen along your Christian journey? There might be some stumbles, okay? There might be some like my stumbles when I'm running, but you will make it. Some of you may not have those stumbles, but some of us will, won't we? There are moments in our life we look back to and we think, oh, that's not good, but I repented. I came back to Christ and I'm going to make it. What the promise here is that if you stick with Christ and use what are called his means of grace, and what that means is the things God has given us to keep us going. We've thought about those in Jude, haven't we? Build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Be with God's people. If we are keeping to those, then God promises to keep us. That's such an encouragement. It's such a reassurance, isn't it? You don't have to worry. If you're sitting here and you love Jesus and you're accessing all those means of grace, whatever age you are going to make it. You are. Because God promises he will keep you from that catastrophic fall. I love that. So that's one thing, is that I'm going to keep you from stumbling. But what else? He says, God himself is going to present you without fault and with great joy in his glorious presence. Like, next one, I think there's some sort of weird emoticon, isn't that right? So, have a think about a person you would be really nervous to meet. Who would you feel really nervous to meet? Any ideas? Who do you not want to meet? Or you think, if I met them, I'd be really, really nervous. You think about that? Maybe you've got a real hero. Maybe you've got someone I would love to go meet, but actually if you met in their presence. You think of anybody? A stranger? Good one. Yeah. The devil? Yeah. A monster? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, the in-laws. Are they here?
No.
No! That can be a scary moment, can't it? I remember when I went to take my wife on her first date, and like I was so nervous, and I had the air conditioner on the car all the time to stop myself from sweating. I arrived shivering like that, and that was a bad thing because they were basically the first question: "Are you okay? Because why are you shaking?" Okay. What about, let me show you a picture of the next one, which I think is from 1966. There we are. Do you recognise that moment? It's been coloured in. 1966. I'm saying these words as a Scotsman, okay? This is hard for me. So 1966, what happened to England? Football, what did you win? Yay! How good is that? That is Her Majesty the Queen. That is, do you remember the captain? Bobby Moore. Right. You can watch the video footage of this if you want. What happened is, as they go up to receive the trophy from Her Majesty the Queen, you watch closely Bobby Moore and what he does. He looks ahead and he looks at Her Majesty the Queen. He's about to be in the presence of royalty. He's about to be given this trophy. And he looks and he sees, what is she wearing? Do you look? Have a look at that picture. What is she wearing? Beautiful white gloves. Right? What has he just been doing? He's been playing football, okay? In the World Cup final. So he's got muddy. Look, if you're playing in the World Cup final and you've not got muddy, what have you been doing? Okay? You should have been substituted. But he's caked in mud. His hands are caked in mud. And he's about to come into the presence of Her Majesty the Queen, who is wearing these white gloves. He needs to shake her hand. So do you know what he does? Watch the video. He comes across the kind of the little kind of podium bit, the royal box, and as he makes his way to Her Majesty the Queen, he does this. He wipes his hands subtly so that by the time he presents himself to the Queen, he's cleaned himself up. Fascinating, isn't it? Why does he do it? Because he's about to enter the presence of Her Majesty the Queen, and he knows he's not worthy, he's dirty, and his solution is he cleans himself up to be presentable to her. Fascinating. Go watch the video. What would it have been like if the Queen saw him coming? And what if the Queen saw him coming thinking, wow, he needs to shake my hand. He's not presentable. But don't worry, I've got my washing up gloves in the car or in my bag. So she changes her white gloves. She puts on her kind of rubber gloves. She leaps over the barrier. She gets a bucket of water and soap and says, Bobby, wait, let me clean you up and so that you can be clean, and then let's do the handshake. Can you imagine that story? Wouldn't that be a myth? That's never going to happen, is it? Can you think of any royal person who has ever done such a lowly thing, who has come and cleaned people up so that they could be acceptable in his presence?
Nope.
Nope? Maybe. Well, can you think of one? Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Absolutely. And do you know what that was really all about? It was pointing to what he was about to do on the cross. So what we have is, let me show you the picture of the cross. It's all about this. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the complete opposite of what Bobby Moore did. He realized he had to be presentable in Her Majesty's presence, but his only solution was to clean himself up. But the great news of the gospel is that King Jesus has come and died on a cross so that he can wash us, and so that we can be acceptable. So therefore, when we arrive in his presence, we will be presentable because he has done everything. Isn't that wonderful? So he will keep us from falling over, and he has already died for us so that we are presentable, so there is nothing to fear. And last thing, not just he will present us without fault, but he will present us with what? Great joy. This is wonderful. We're all looking for that happiness. I don't know, what are the objects, the people that when you think about this now, maybe you look at someone or something and it just brings you a smile. You know, what are the things you love to look at that just make you happy? A sunset? Sorry. What? Wait a minute. We'll get to kittens. Okay, that's a niche one, I think. Kittens. Oh no! I don't want to divide the church. Right. What do you say? Your family. Tim, his family. He looks at his family. Ah. Okay. That got more of an awe than kittens. Yes. Wild animal behaviour. Amazing. And you just see the handiwork of God all over the place. There are loads of stuff, isn't there? There are things that we look at that bring us joy. Well, here's what's going to happen. At the end of the journey, when we see Jesus face to face, being in his presence, he is the God of fullness, of wonderful joy. So when we look at Jesus, the very act of looking at Jesus will fill us with great joy. It's wonderful. That's how it works. You see, there's the journey. There's the story. I think, is there one more slide? Here it is. The journey. So I want to say to you, I don't know if everybody has started that journey. I don't know if everyone here is a Christian. I suspect there are some people who are not yet. Maybe you love the church. Maybe you love the people. But you've not yet gone through that first gate. You haven't yet received Jesus. So I want to say to you, when it's time, go through the gate. Start the journey. Receive Jesus. And then look forward to the day when all of us, when we start the journey, we are promised that we will see Jesus face to face. The journey will be difficult, but don't be frightened, because God has promised that you will not have a catastrophic fall. And one day he will present you without fault because of the cross of Jesus, and you'll be in the presence of great joy. Amen.